Blog Talk Radio.
Resting place for you, sir.
coming to your garden, coming to your garden. So come into your garden.
Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. Hi, I'm Carmen. I'm your host tonight. We're on a little earlier, about 2 hours earlier, and I know it's going to take some time for people to get used to it, but praise God, here I am, and that's what archives are for. All right, today is June 29, 2024. It's Saturday, and praise the Lord, we're here. We're here. And so we praise God for this time. And thank you, Jesus, for this time that we have together. We ask you to touch people and allow them to understand the message that you have for them tonight and bless them and help them. And, Lord, we just thank you for PGN, for allowing us to be on PGN, Father God, tonight, for that opportunity, for however long that's going to be. We just praise you, Lord. We give you thanks, and we lift up Prophet Randy. We ask you, Father God, to keep him strong and encourage him wherever he goes, whatever he does, Lord, that he'll hear your voice clearly always, Father God. Bless him physically, financially, in all areas of his life, Lord. So we thank you for him. We thank you for people like him, Father God, that allows your word to go through on the internet in this way. And so we thank you for that in Jesus' name. All right. This past week, I was having an interesting conversation with a friend about Nephilim. We had seen something online, and we started to talk about the Nephilim. And what are Nephilim? Well, they're a group of mysterious beings who were large in size and were very strong, basically giants. They lived before the flood. They were one of the created beings that Noah did not allow on his ark. There was a reason for it. These Nephilim were evil, and they were warriors. They also mentioned that these Nephilim were apparently out after the flood. And so you think, well, how can that be if there was a flood to destroy them? Well, God was using the flood to destroy corruption on the earth, and they were part of that. But for some reason, some of them, I guess, we don't know. The Bible doesn't really say. In order to preserve human beings, God had to allow Noah to have an ark to preserve animals and humans, allowing male and female, one of each, for each species. Nothing was mentioned about Nephilim. Each species of human and of animals, so he can later on populate them and have a new breed of people. So Nephilim were called son of God, sons of God, in Genesis 6:4. And these sons of God were fallen angels that took on a physical form. They do take physical form. And even now, even with angels, regular angels that are sent by God, people have seen regular angels take physical form and come to help people in their time of distress, whether in an accident or something, and then all of a sudden they disappear. So they have the ability to take on a physical form. Excuse me. The Nephilim were on this earth in those days and also afterwards. So the possibility that the son of God, the dark angels, the fallen angels, that's what they were, came into the daughters of man, that's women, human women, and they bore children to them. They were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. That's what the Bible talks about, refers to them. In other words, they were renowned. They were very well known. They were fighters. They were warriors. Okay, and so the Nephilim wanted to, I believe that the strategy of the enemy was to allow fallen angels to pervert humanity, because it was to stop God's purpose for mankind. There was a scripture before that, in Genesis 3:15, where it says the reason was to crush the head of the serpent, Satan. They were trying to stop this from happening. So if they perverted them and got them to be like them, then they were stopping God's purpose and plan. And it basically failed. And so, but Let me continue so that you can have an idea of what where this is going. The enemy wanted to stop the seed of woman from crushing the enemy's head, right? It seems like the Son of God were fallen angels. So in referring to some kinds of union with women, the Bible talks about that, like they had sex with women and the women bore the giants, these giants, and the results were those giants. In the Bible, those giants were referred to as the Philistines in David's day. They were, in Moses' day, they were the, they were called the people from Anak, and they were in Canaan. But the ones that David faced were in the Philistines. Today we see movies that literally show titles with the name of Nephilim in Hollywood. They know about it. They know about Nephilim. There's this one movie that I saw many years ago that rubbed me wrong, and it was called The City of Angels. And I read what the Bible said about angels. Then I realized they wanted to make it out as if it was okay for humans and angels to mix. They didn't put this angel in the movie as a fallen angel. They made him look like he was a regular angel, you know, that wanted to choose to be human and to have a regular life loving a human woman. But where did they get that idea from? Who knows? Maybe they got that idea from the Bible. Think about it. God wanted the flood to destroy those things that corrupted humans. And don't you think that he will do the same thing again? He'll destroy those things that try to corrupt us from bringing God's purpose on this earth. And there, just like there is a union with man and angel, there's a union also in the spirit realm. People today think that they can dabble with the occult any way they want and that there's no results to that. There is a something that takes place. Many years ago, I was watching a deliverance take place, and this was in Africa. In that deliverance, the minister was trying to get this demon out of this woman, and he asked it questions. And this demon would say, "No, she's mine. I'm her spiritual spouse." And I was like, whoa, that sounds so familiar to what happened in the Bible. You know, these angels, these dark angels, were making mankind into their spiritual spouses. And since then, I've heard of things like men also having these spiritual spouses. It's not just women. Not just women. Okay, so see that Nephilims are giants, and they appeared after the flood. How did they make it? We don't know. The Bible doesn't say specifically. Maybe the giants were strong and they survived the flood. But it says that the Bible doesn't say anything like that, you know, that they survived. Maybe the daughter-in-laws of Noah had Nephilim DNA, and it got passed on to humanity. We don't know. It doesn't say. Maybe the fallen angels came back and did it again and procreated with women again, bringing more of their kind. It doesn't, there's nothing that speaks clearly as to what happened after the flood. But the flood was to destroy all that wickedness. All right. So it doesn't speak about it clearly. But the fact that they were back after the flood, it is evident. We find that in Numbers 13:13, where Moses tells the people of Israel, before they entered Canaan, where the giants were, that the sons of Anak were going to be there. It says, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. Why would they have such large cities? These people were big. They were big and strong. The Anakites were strong and tall. They were the Nephilim's ancestors. They're descendants. The Nephilim's descendants. So these were half human and half demonic. So David also faced these descendants of Nephilim, the Philistines, if you remember that story. Goliath was his name, the one that he faced, the giants that he faced. These giants were strong and tall and wicked. They didn't have regards for God. They mocked God. Goliath mocked God in front of David. So God tells Moses in Numbers 13, chapters 13 through 15, that they were to go in and possess the land. And so he sent 12 spies. Only two of them came back, Caleb and Joshua. They were the only ones that came back believing that God would give them the victory. They believed that God would protect them. They believed that when God called them to do something, that he would protect them and that he wouldn't protect the enemy. So that's something that you really got to understand, that God, when he sends you to do something, he's going to protect you. He's going to protect you. And like I've said, we're going to be facing deserts. The Israelites were in a desert. And we will be facing giants. There'll be different types of giants. They're not necessarily the same giants that you have, might not be the same giants that I have. But do know that if God puts you in the midst of all that, and you shouldn't fear, that you should know that God's going to give you the victory. Will it seem rough? Yeah, because there's a spiritual warfare going on to get you to not believe what God says. Or whatever you're facing. And that's part of the battle with these, with this enemy, with these giants. And these giants are big, are strong. You can't do it on your own strength. There is a scripture that says nothing is impossible with God. I've already mentioned that before. And nothing is impossible with God. But when you think you can do it, then you're going to get clobbered, because you can't do all things that are possible. Only God can do that. And let's continue. Give me a second here, because this phone is... All right. So David faced the descendants of Nephilim, the Philistines, and he had the victory. These giants are strong. And so we got to believe that God, whatever God says, that he will do. He warned them before they even got there. He told them to prepare themselves, that they were going to be strong and big. And so what do these 12 spies do? 10 of them said, oh, they're so big. The grapes are big. Everything is big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. Why? Because they were from that descendant of the Nephilim. I mean, think about it. Have you ever seen those Hercules movies where he's fighting these giants and monsters and things like that? Think about it. If you were one of the Israelites and you were the ones that got to see what was going on in Canaan, it would be a little shaky for you, wouldn't it? But guess what? But because if you don't prepare yourself ahead of time, when you do see these giants, they're going to make you shake in your boots. And we're facing some hard times. But if we trust the Lord and we stay firm and eat his word on a daily basis and get strong in him, we're going to be able to overcome whatever the enemy has. But thinking of strange that these things are not going to be easy. They're going to be big and strong, okay? So I've seen those deliverances in Africa where you see these demons that'll say, no, they're my spouse. They believe that they own you, that they're your spouse. I thought about this, and I remembered how John the Baptist had the Spirit of God inside of him when he was in his mother's womb. Therefore, if John the Baptist could have a spirit when he was in his mother's womb, then it could also be possible for a baby to have a demon before it's born, right? So there's a spiritual warfare going on. The enemy wants to damage the human race so that we won't be able to do what it is that God wants, the purposes and the plans. I believe that as people open themselves to beliefs that are contrary to God, it can open them to these dark angels. They're going to, you know, be out there spewing a lot of lies, but it's up to you what you receive from them. And you have to be careful not to fall into these false doctrines, these false teachings. They come with lies, and it all comes through the mind. Be careful. And these are some of the strategies of these spiritual giants that come to deceive people. Before, it may have been physical. Now, it's all spiritual. It's spiritual. And some say that maybe they're around, but I think they're around through the spirit realm, the things that we allow them to infiltrate into our minds and our thoughts and our hearts. There is a fascination with the cult in our society that is open in movies and music and religion and politics, even in health, where people will believe that they need to eat a certain way because they've heard it from these ancient teachings and that it's good for you and blah, blah, blah. Be careful even with that. Education is also bringing this stuff around. I remember my son one summer went to school, and he had summer school, and he came home, and I said, well, what did they do today? And he was telling me how the teacher put a candle in the middle of the room and had them looking at the candle for them to relax. And I said, oh, no, that was the last day of summer for him. I prayed over that kid, and I was like, oh, my God. And I complained. I complained in the school. So we have to be real careful. We really do need to talk to our children, our grandchildren, our young people that get involved with things that they think they might not be bad because maybe they're going through something and they open themselves to it, thinking that it's going to help them. I've never seen as much of this happening like it's happening now, like never before. Singers with pentagrams, a friend of mine was showing me, there was this one singer, and many of them are doing this, with a pentagram on stage, performing curses to their audience. They're actually cursing the people in their audience, and the people are like, wow, woo, woo, you know, they're in agreement with it. They don't know any better of what's going on. I can mention names, and I won't, but there's even children being taken to concerts, very important people taking their children to these concerts and not realizing they're getting cursed. movie, the movies, it's everywhere. The strategies of this fallen, these fallen angels have gotten more sophisticated and open. They're not holding anything back. They're exposing it. Well, in this one video where I'm watching the lady, I couldn't hear the music, but there was an actual pentagram. They were dressed in dark clothing, and she wasn't the only one that did this. There are many, many singers now that are doing similar things. It's out in the open. Even Marilyn Monroe, they say that she had some kind of pact with the devil too. Their purpose is to turn you, to stop, every one of you to stop in God. And for you to start worshiping them. They want your worship. Angelology. It's the worship of angels. And guess what? Christians are in this too. Mm-hmm. You're saying, what? Yeah. They're being deceived. There's this fascination with angels. I've seen testimonies, people talking about their encounters with angels. And I'm like, since when are we supposed to be listening to this stuff? So, you know, at first it sounds, oh, okay, there must be something that we could learn from this. But then when I start listening to it, it's just a fascination with angels. And it's turning them from worshiping God to worshiping the creation. Because guess what? Angels are created just like us. They're created beings, and people are in such fascination. They have angels. They know their name. They know, you know, and on and on and on. So I was watching this one young pastor talking about his experience with angels. He says, oh, that he didn't look after, he didn't go after that, but this came to him, and it started talking to him, and started moving things in his car, and another friend felt the presence of that angel in his car. And I'm like, what is the purpose of all this? Where is God in all this? Tell me, where is the worship of God? And on it went with the story about his encounter with the angel. What does it have to do with God? So I watched how this minister wasn't really seeking a God encounter, but an angel encounter. He went on and on about the character of the angel, the conversation, and he mentioned a book that was not added to the Bible. And he recommended that we read it for more godly information. And I'm like, well, why would I read it if it was excluded from the Bible? And this book was the book of Enoch, Methuselah's father. He was Methuselah's father. Methuselah was the oldest man in the Bible. And he was mentioned in several parts of the Bible, but nowhere does it say to go read this book. It was left out for a reason. And it didn't, I was like, this fascination is bringing people's eyes off of God and onto God's creation. It's bringing them out of God's order into disorder. And that's what these dark angels, these fallen angels are all about. Disorder, chaos, confusion, lies. So stay away from this demon idolization. There's people, Christians, that get all wrapped up in the idol worship of angels. And they have angel statues, and they have all kinds of angels here and there, and they believe the more little angels they have, that they're protected. It's been referenced and argued that gigantism stems from the Nephilim origin. It's believed that people that are gigantic, you know, you've seen big people. I've seen people in wrestling that have been, you know, they look like giants. Like one of them was like Andre the Giant. Well, it is referenced that they believe that they may have come from that ancestry. Some have problems believing that fallen angels could produce a new breed of humans as giants. They don't think it's possible, but the Bible talks about it. These Nephilims were believed to be righteous sons of Seth. God rejects those unrighteous beings. He rejects them because they came to distort the human race, their DNA, to change it. Today, I believe the strategy is the same, except they take on our bodies to do their bidding. Before, it was they would take a woman and have a baby and have that baby be the unrighteous one. Now they're coming at right directly at you. Today, people seek dark, ancient things, practices given to them by dark, fallen angels. I remember, and the union of this brings a conception of something. It brings a sort of spiritual baby, okay? I remember that, oh, I lost my kind of lost my train of thought. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Well, these dark practices open you up, and you're ignorant of what it does. Many people seek power. I've seen deliverances where the truth comes out and the spirits start talking. I mean, I really don't like talking to no spirits because they're going to be liars. They're going to lie. But the thing is, they want to come to deceive a person. They make the person believe that they belong to them. They can hear them clearly, and you wonder, how is it that they can hear them clearly? They can hear these demons so clearly, but yet they can't hear God's voice. So people back in those days sought the dark things and gave birth to Nephilim. Today isn't any different. People are still seeking those things, those forbidden things that God forbids, that God doesn't want us to dabble in. And this, too, births something big and strong that brings chaos and confusion, like in the days of Noah. God destroyed those things and will destroy these things today. Angels are created beings. They're created beings. They're like us humans. In a sense, but I'll show you that they're a little bit different than us. God's word does not give us detail on how or when they were created, but he does say that they are his servants. In Psalm 8, verse 5, it says, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. In other words, he's made the angels, made us a little lower than the angels. God also says angels don't get married. Let's look at a scripture that is in reference to that. Matthew 22:30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So here it's talking about that in heaven, we are not going to get married or given in marriage, but we're going to be like the angels, that they're not married in heaven. So angels don't get married. So there was a plan with that the Nephilims wanted to destroy the human race, to damage the DNA with their wickedness. Yes, angels can take on physical form, but are still spiritual beings. They're servants of God. There was a moment when John almost slipped when he had that vision with the angel, when the angel appeared to him. He was going to bow and worship an angel. The angel told him he was just like him. He was a servant of God. So I guess, the awe of seeing this angel and sensing that heavenly presence, he almost went into worship. But we are not to worship the enemy. We end up worshiping the enemy when we get ourselves involved and dabble in occultic things, seeing sometimes that seem innocent, but that will pull you into the wrong side. We don't worship angels, and certainly not false, fallen angels. Angels are here to move God's kingdom forward. They announce things to come. They protect the heirs of the kingdom. That's us. They worship God. They do God's purpose. Okay? So don't get the servants confused and think because they carry God's presence on them and come that you're supposed to worship them. No, they've been in heaven. They carry that glory on them. They're right next to God. So people, talk about So people, you know, get so infatuated with the angels that it borderlines onto worship. And you don't see them talking about God. Oh, angels this. And you see some people, especially women. Women get into this a lot more than men do. You know, with their angel. Oh, that their angel this. But on the other hand, we can't act like they aren't there. There has to be a balance. We have to understand we have angels that are doing God's bidding, and God will protect us as we're doing what God says. So go, and some people will go and say that each person has a guardian angel. There's nothing in the Bible that says that we have a guardian angel. That nothing. But it does say that angels come to protect us. So we have to be careful with the teachings that are out there, because if they can get you to, you know, tickle your ears to hear things like that, because that sounds wonderful. Oh, I have an angel. I can tell him what to do or where to go. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. And we shouldn't, you know, we need to protect ourselves. Let's not add to what the Word of God doesn't say. How we act towards angels is very important. We're supposed to thank God for them. You can find that in Revelation 22 where, you know, they're thanking for God for the angels, for them, their protection. Recognize that they're fellow servants. And do you worship a fellow servant? No. They're a creation. We share with the angels heaven. We're all going to worship with the angels. So who are we going to worship? We're going to worship God. So why are we going to be worshiping and treating them like if they were God? We have to be careful whether they're an angel, regular angel, or they're a fallen angel. We do not worship angels. Another warning. Where people aren't getting themselves, they might get themselves in a bit of trouble. Numerology. The Bible does talk about numbers and their meanings, you know, to help us to understand. But God is trying to reveal something to us through numbers. For symbolisms, to explain things to us. But he doesn't want us to go on and on and on about numbers as if it was like a psychic reading or horoscopes. What we shouldn't do is get off balance and place too much meaning on numbers and use them in our lives. We need to use the Bible. Stay in balance. We can get ourselves in a lot of trouble. Anything can be taken out of balance. It's like when psychic readings, horoscopes, and false prophetic words are given to people, the people get caught up with trying to find things to prove that they're true. I've seen people do this, things that they'll try to, oh, yeah, that was my psychic reading. They told me that I would be in blah, 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 blah. And it's true. You know, they're looking for things to match up with what they were told. That's not of God. Don't do that. Don't do that. Trying to match up things that are spoken to you, you know, over people that are not even godly. So be careful with these signs. Psychics and witches use witchcraft and divination, and people go after it to make it match, to see things that are not there. The Bible numerology is real. It's a real thing, but not where you go, where you're going after looking for that. These things are to help you to understand what the Word of God is trying to do, not for you to find signs and clues for your life. You got to be careful. You have to be real careful. It will definitely find things if you seek it. You'll find it. Remember, one lady was told something, and she came out with something else. Oh, yeah. Now, that's what happened, and this is what happened. It had nothing to do with what they had told her. And the person that told her something was a false prophet on top of that. So, but here she is trying to line it up with something that is really not of God anyway. People look for things to match, to fit what their purpose, what they want to happen in their lives. Be careful. Be careful when you go into the internet also for information. You're going to get yourself in trouble. The internet has a lot of false things. It'll tell you a lot of things. You have to be careful. You have to study to show yourself approved. The Word of God is against such things. It becomes witchcraft with the use of divination. It's like psychics and witches, what they do with fortune telling. So yes, the Bible has its references to things, but we must not use them to predict the future with what we believe. Biblical numerology is a real thing. True discernment and guidance of the Holy Spirit is found in those that uncover the correct meaning of what God is truly trying to say, showing us in Scripture. Some people just jump and make it to fit with whatever they want, whatever they want it to fit over their lives and purposes. But be careful. Not everything that comes at us is from God. Be careful when you go into the internet for information. Yes, there's a lot of numerology, but a lot of it is garbage. And it can lead people into things that are not true. Bad teaching, plain outright occultism. Be careful. The occult uses numbers too, okay? The occult uses angelology. It's a lot of garbage. Be careful. Seek God's word, your pastor, people that know Scripture when you want truth. Be careful with the internet. Be careful you don't use numerology to make what you want it to fit in your way. Psychic readings and horoscopes do this. And you see them looking, and then when things don't come out right, oh, but I was told. Be careful. Read your word. Study to show yourself approved. Get full of God's word. Let God show you your future. Let God show you your purpose and plan. Don't run after these things. Be careful. There are demons also helping you to lead you away from God. They can also make things happen. They can make things happen for you, and they'll give it to you for a season until they get you. They hook you up, and then you got to give it all back. You got to give it all back. They just wanted to grab you and grab you good, but then it's payback time. These giants come to draw us away from God. Yeah, they may be big and strong. They may cause you to fear. They may show you that you can't, but with God's strength, you can. You can't, but God can. Don't let the enemy, don't let those giants lie to you, distract you. You may say, but I can't. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't know how. I'm not big enough. Don't let the enemy intimidate you. Don't let the enemy lie to you to get you off track. Stay connected to God's word, not other things that lead you to get out of the straight and narrow path. Watch what you listen. There are people on the internet that are prophesying things, and they don't come to pass, and they keep on prophesying, and people are in awe of them. And they're a bunch of false prophets. We're going to be seeing more and more of this, more deception. The dark side is going to up it up, and there's going to be giants, more giants. But guess what? God can. We have to be like Caleb and Joshua. Sin always begins with one disobedience, then another, and then another. It starts small, then it gets big. That's how the enemy does it. Sin starts with a thought. A man may start looking at nude magazines, then it's porn videos. Then he's wanting to manifest it in the physical. And before you know it, there's all kinds of disorder. Disorder comes, chaos and confusion. That man's life is in ruins. The man may manifest the acts he saw and hurt another human being. That's how it happens. Be careful with your thoughts. Be careful with what you allow in your thought life, in your what you're looking at. It all starts with a thought. All sin has its beginning. Nip it. Like Barney Fife would say, nip it in the butt. Stop sin before it grows. Don't get out of God's order. Stay in his order. Stay in his word. Stay in it and show yourself approved. Stay fed with the word. Don't go hungry. When someone is hungry and can't find food, they'll go. You ever seen that? People that are poor, they don't have money, they can't find food. Where do they go? The dumpsters. Old food, any food. They eat garbage. That's what some people do because they don't feed themselves the word of God and stay in the word. They eat any garbage that comes to them from the internet, from books, you name it. They'll eat it because they're hungry, because they don't feed themselves the word. Seek first. Stay eating his food daily. Whatever you need, God has for you. Seek him. Don't be a victim of the descendants of fallen angels. Don't be a victim of the Nephilim. Don't be a victim. Feed yourself. It's very important, especially these days. We see, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I felt something. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that. I thank you, Lord, for the protection you're giving us. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. There is a lot of stuff going on, and you need to stay in the word. It's very important to stay in the word. We can't eat whatever garbage is given to us. We need to stay lined up in the word of God. Amen? All right. I don't have that many callers tonight, and I understand because I started the show and many people have probably forgotten about it. I'll start with this caller. 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Prophetess Carmen. This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Hi, Sarah. Okay. Let me put you on mute and then I'll come back to you. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. Thank you, Lord. You know what? You may not think that the things that you do are very important, but God has entrusted you with his children. I see you with children. You're surrounded with them, and you may think that nothing is important in that, but it's almost like if you are a guard, you're like guarding these children. You're protecting these children, is what I'm seeing. I see you like at the center of a crowd of children, and like you're drawing them close to you, and you're like you're protecting them. You're protecting them, and basically, you're a watchman there. You're watching these children. The Lord has this specific assignment for you in doing this, and it is important because a lot of things happen when children are small that because of the lack of the negligence of parents in protecting their children that later on will cause them to have problems later on as adults. And so I see that these children will have you for a season because they're there for God to use you to protect them. Even in the place that they're in, there is much protection that needs to be done to keep these children. So that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing you surrounded by these children, and it's almost like you want to have big hands to hold them close to you to protect them. But you are protecting them in many ways, in their mind, in their physical, you're protecting them. And so we thank you, Lord, for that protection. And you're not alone in doing so, Sarah. You have help from the heaven above. And God does, as we're talking about angels, God does send help from heaven above. God sends angels to come and help us. And so you may not be aware of them, but they're there. And it's all for the glory of God. The glory of God. Thank you, Lord, for your angels, the angels that are truly here on earth to help your kingdom advance. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for your daughter, Father God. Give her more strategies in prayer to pray for these children, Father God, in the name of Jesus. There's something about that, about the children, and I don't get, but don't think it's strange, Sarah. Don't think it's strange that you're there for these children. Sometimes people, they want us to be in high position, but that may not be where God has called us to be. Sometimes taking care of children, taking care of the sick, taking care of the elderly, you know, those are positions that people don't really look upon, you know, they don't look at it as something honorable to do. But you know what? God sees that, and what you do unto them, you're doing to him. So we thank you, Lord, for Sarah, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Hi. I'm doing well. I, like I was saying last week, because I, as the Lord sees fit, I try to listen to you weekly because it's like God gives you so much within the teaching, within the prophetic. He just gives you so much. It's information that's coming from him. And I just listen to it. It's about the Nephilim. And it's so much information packed in one. It's just awesome. It's awesome. And I'm glad he's using you in that way because I learned so much. Like my daughter was like, She was here, Leah. She was here with me. She just walked in not too long ago. And she says, Mom, what's going on? And I said, they're talking about the Nephilim. I said, she says, you tuned in every week. I said, yeah, because it's always something interesting that the Lord has given us. She says, I know it. And so she start listening, too. she's tuned in.
Yeah. She's the future. She's the one that's going to carry, you know, and share with other people. And this is what the enemy is doing to our youth, too. So they're the ones that need to hear this so that they won't fall into the deception that the enemy has in order to ruin their DNA. You know, he doesn't want us to get back at the enemy. And he's got a purpose and a plan. It's all through the music, the movies, even education, all this humanism, all this crazy stuff that's been given in, I mean, from college to kindergarten, there's things that are coming at our children. I mean, none of them escape it. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Like I had said about my son, you know, that this was going on in even in his summer school when he was little. And I was like, oh, my God, nope. I said, no, we're not doing this. It's like it was like meditation, like with a candle. And I'm like, man, they're starting really young. So, I mean, it's in everything, in the games, in the video games, everything. I mean, we have such bombardment of the dark side of fallen angels that it's just crazy. It's really crazy.
It's like, yeah, and I'm basically tuned in with you on that, because with most colleges they teach about the higher being and your chakras and new age. And you're like, what is this? You know, and then like you're doing yoga and you're doing the meditation, but what's going on, you go through the chakra, which is the center of the, I don't know, but they're trying to do the meditation.
They're
and with meditation and yoga. Well, some people, I don't know what happened, but one girl told me that they go into the higher being. It just depends on what you're taking. They, instead of saying Jesus and we worship him, they're teaching, I guess some people say, we're going to just go in with the higher being, whoever you, your higher being is. Yeah, and then sometimes when you're doing yoga, you're doing meditation, but the meditation can be conducted through the Middle Eastern, and you're getting in contact with other gods. You just so never know. And then the chakra, and it's a lot of New Age stuff that's out there that's being taught.
They're hungry, but they're looking at the wrong place, and they're eating garbage. That's basically what it is. They're eating garbage. And so that's why we have to prepare ourselves. It's time to step out and start talking to people and prepare ourselves on how we're going to present the gospel to people and be ready, like things like that, like the chakra. Okay, well then how am I going to tell them about that this is not right? How am I going to debunk all this? How am I going to tear this argument down and then bring Jesus to them, you know? We really got to get smart. We really got to ask the Lord to help us to know how to explain things to unbelievers and to be used by him. I mean, we don't do it in our own strength. We got to do it with, you know, God's leading. And he will do it in a perfect way. He'll do it in a perfect way. I remember this one girl, and I was a new believer. I didn't know. I was just fearless. And I started talking to her about God. This girl was involved into so many things. Even her marriage was ruined. It was getting bad. And God, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. It's been so long. But I led her into, you know, the things of God. And I could see that there was this hunger in her. And I could see the way that she was looking at me, like she was like, yes, this is what I needed. This is what I've been looking for. And she started going to church. Even people that would go to church, this one lady, her husband years before had told her to have an abortion. And she had done it, and it left her depressed. She had other children, but they couldn't afford to have any more children. He had two twins from his first marriage, and then he had the girls that he had with her. They had already a big family. And so she went through with it, and she lived right across the street from me. I was living in Germany, and I found out that he was my husband's coworker. And I was like, well, this must be an opportunity for me to help her. I mean, she would have her windows closed. She was always in the dark. So finally, I started befriending her, and I got where her realm was. I mean, although I never had an abortion, but I started looking for books on deliverance and things like that because she understood, you know, Christianity. But she really wasn't walking in it, and neither was her husband. But they were familiar with deliverance and things like that. And so I got her really happy about that, and we started praying. And, oh, my God, over time, she started going to church, and she got delivered. She was very much happy, a very happy woman. I mean, it was like day and night. And then she was the one that was giving her home for prayer nights and things like that. I was like, wow, you know. But if I let myself be moved by what other people thought that how I should be because I was a new believer, then I wouldn't have done anything. I remember another lady that was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the next lady, she was saying, oh, no, well, you know, just keep at it. Maybe you're not supposed to get your baptism. And I was like, no, that's not true. That's for everybody. Do you want it? And she goes, yeah, I'm here, a new believer. I go, well, let's keep praying for her. That girl got the tongue, her tongue that night. It was like, and the other lady was mad because I had gone against what she was believing. But yet this other girl got it. But because she didn't believe it, well, then everybody has to believe the way that she did. And so, no, we have to have faith. We have to believe that God can do the impossible. And a lot of the things that I've done on my own without other people coming in and leading me to do it, you know, I just, okay, Lord, what do you say? Because if you let other people influence you, you're going to be stripped of your faith. I mean, it's a good thing when people do believe and they're like, you know, they set you on fire and you keep moving. But it's another thing when people are just dead in their faith. So I think we need to be fire starters in other people, getting them moving. And those that don't know God, we need to start opening our mouths and leading other people. It's time. God told us to go and do it. Go and do it. You know, we have to. The days are getting really bad, and people are eating garbage out there. We got to give them the real deal, the good food, the heaven food. Amen?
Amen. Amen. I just tell you, it's just so much information that the Lord is downloading in you that it's just quality. It's quality. And you're sharing it with the masses and telling them to come on, get your cleansing. Because, you know, so many times so people want to point fingers at the imperfection in other people, but they're not looking at themselves and saying, you know, before I became a Christian, I needed to be cleaned up. I needed to be anointed. Before I became a Christian, I was doing everything. But once God cleaned me up, now it's time for me to find somebody else who's lost and confused and bring them on in and make them feel, you know, that they're okay. They can have God too in their life.
Yeah.
and they can have the Holy Spirit.
We can't be a priest either. I mean, even at work, we have to be careful with, you know, they don't want us to say anything about God or get religious or anything because they can kick you out of job. Oh, hello, there's ways of doing it. There's ways of doing it. Even in our own walk, the way that we act, we can witness by that only. They can see us, how we carry ourselves, how we treat other people. They'll know that there's something about us that is godly. So if you watch your walk, you can minister to people, you know, but some people act the same, you know, everywhere, and that doesn't say much, but praise God. So have you ever heard of anything about the Nephilim?
Yeah, I've heard about them, and they had one guy, I can't think of his name. Do you know his name, Katie? They said he was in relation to the Nephilim. Kevin Gage.
Mm.
He said he was related to the Nephilim.
What?
Yeah, his name is Kevin Gage, and I don't know, you know, I'm thinking if he just had somebody to reach out to him and tell him about the Lord and bring him back on in, he'll give his life up. I know he will.
Well, I've seen deliverances where these spirits will say, no, she's mine or he's mine. I'm their spiritual spouse. Those demons really believe that you belong to them. But it's because of things that people have done that have opened the door for them to have those spirits come in. And I've seen the deliverances, you know, they're fighting, and eventually God wins. But we have to be careful. That's why I'm saying we have to be careful what we open ourselves to that is really the fallen angel that's trying to give you something that is later on going to link you up with him or her, you know. So we have to be careful with that, what we watch, the things that, you know, what we allow in our lives, the books that we read. I can't believe, my sister says that she is a believer and this and that, and yet she promotes Harry Potter to the children in her school. Well, how are you doing that? That's an ungodly book. Do you not know that God's going to judge you for that? It's all about spells, where does that come from? The Nephilim, fallen angels. And so
fallen
people don't
angels.
Realize, you know, they're trying to damage your DNA. They're trying to damage your DNA. And so when we start going through these deserts that we're coming into because of what our country's going, the world is going through, we need to be careful that we don't allow the fear to grip us. We need to understand that if God is letting us experience these things, we're going to go forward and we're going to have the victory like the 10 spies, only two believed that God was going to do what he was going to do. He warned them. He told them, this is coming. And I'm warning you, this is coming. This is coming. Be prepared. It's coming. But you can do it. You can overcome these giants. It may look like a scary thing because imagine, can you imagine yourself looking up at a giant? You know, they're going to squash you. Like they said that they looked like grasshoppers in the sight of the giants. In other words, they were teeny compared to these giants. It's a big thing. So, but if God did it before, he's going to do it again. But we have to prepare ourselves. Eat what God wants us to eat. Eat the good food so that we're prepared, so we know what we got to do. Look at Caleb and Joshua. They were strong men. They believed. They were different from the rest. The rest walked in fear. And
look,
if you
David.
Don't fill yourself with God, you walk in fear. Say what?
Look at David. The Lord allowed him to carry on. David and Goliath.
Yeah. So there's different scenarios in the Bible where they're faced with these giants. It's not just David. It's there have been others, but and others have feared. But God did it. And
God
he
did
it the way that David can handle it. Yeah, God did it through him. Not the way that people thought it was going to be done. They wanted to put armor on him and a whole bunch of things that he didn't know how to handle. That armor wasn't meant for him. He just knew how to sling his sling with a rock, and because he had done it before. God will prepare us if we allow him. He'll prepare us with what we know, with what we know, like he did with David. He prepared David with what he knew. So there's going to be different types of giants, but God's going to give us the victory. But we got to prepare and read the word, get full of God's word. Let our spirit man grow, get strong. Because as these things come, it's going to affect, it's going to be big and scary. But we can do it. With Jesus, we can do it. God can help us. But if we're not preparing, God prepared the Israelites beforehand. And guess what? Those that didn't believe died in the wilderness. They didn't go. They didn't go in. God didn't let them go in, because if they went in, they were going to be smashed by the giants. They wanted to go in, but God didn't allow them. They said, no, you're not. You sinned. You didn't believe. I can't let you go in there. They died off in the desert. So if we are not believing, we're going to die off before. Some people will die off before they get into that place where they're going to have to face the giants. God is not a cruel God either.
No.
So we have to be ready. You know, we have to be ready. Our unbelief can get us nowhere. Will not get us nowhere. God is, you know, the military is not going to put somebody that's handicapped in war. They don't do that. So God is not going to put somebody that's handicapped from the word into war. But you're not going to have the things of, you know, the rewards either. So it's time to move. It's time to get on with what we need to do and bring other people in. Tell them about Jesus. It's time to get out of our comfort zone. It's time. It's time. Look at all these things that are happening right now in our country, in our world. Other people are looking at what's happening in the U.S. right now, and they don't know what to do. They're like,
they don't.
People, they know that there's something coming. They know it. We have to pray. Maybe not so much for what's going to happen, because it's going to happen, but for us to be ready for what's going to happen so that we won't fail, that we won't be those 10 brides without the 10 virgins without oil. We need to be oiled up with the word of God, with God's presence. So when it's time, we're ready. We're ready. Amen. Is
Amen.
There anything you want to say? Yeah, go ahead. Go
yeah.
ahead.
And I really... just have learned so much from what the Lord has downloaded in your spirit and in you, because there's so much information that it's a woman, she works in retail, and she just says, God bless you, you know, and she says, I have to tell everybody that. And I said, I just told her, she said, because there's so much going on in the world today that if I tell somebody, if I just get that message out, and she says it at the end of her ringing up the cell, and she said, if I just tell them that, it'll make their day. And she said, there's so much going on in the world today that, you know, I want them to hear it, that God bless you, you know, that I want them to hear I want them to hear a positive message. That God bless you. And,
you know,
as well as,
yeah, we
as
do
well
have to
that,
be a shining light. Yeah.
She has such a gentle spirit.
Oh. You know, I lived in the country of Panama, and I was there when there was this dictator that was doing a lot of harm to the country. And the country went on standstill because of what was going on in his, you know, the place where he was. The military had to go in there. The U.S. military had to go in there. And this is history, what I'm talking about. And what ended up happening when people took to the streets because stores were closed, they couldn't feed their children, there was no work, everything was on a standstill. And people took it to the streets, and they started looting. They started looting. People started hurting one another. And so the people had to take it to the streets. And I remember that, you know, we were nervous. We didn't know what was going to go on. A lot of the shipments, the American shipments, these people were throwing them in the water. And people would get their stuff full of mold in their shipment. We were praying that nothing would happen to our thing. But they prepared us to be ready, that if something should happen, that we would just take our small luggage with our valuables and leave everything behind. That's what they would train us as a family. We had to go through certain trainings on where we would go, what we would do. And so, you know, I'm kind of seeing that kind of stuff that could possibly happen. And we got a little taste of it when we were going through COVID, how people were reacting in the different cities. But we have to stay strong, and we have to pray for the protection of our city and around our neighborhoods and our family, and have a plan to know what to do if something should break out. Now, I'm not creating fear, but we have to be ready. We have to prepare ourselves, because there are certain things that may happen. I pray not, but it just get people get crazy, and we have to have a plan as a family on what we need to do. So things are getting a little bit interesting with the election, and I think a lot of people are still, but people are angry because they're not able to pay their bills and buy food with what they have. And it'll get to a point where people will start getting angry. And I pray that, you know, people keep their heads on and do the right thing. But, you know, I've seen it happen before. And we need to pray that there will be peace and calm, and that, you know, that if there's going to be some type of protest, that it will be peaceful protest, and that people will turn to Jesus. That will be our opportunity to lead others to Jesus. They need to have the real food. People are giving them garbage out there, but it's because they're not looking in the right place. They're not seeking God the right way. But you know what? It's okay to get to that point. Jacob was in distress, and when he was, that's when he got right with God. He started seeking God. And that's when God changed him, because he struggled with the Lord. He fought for that blessing. And so many are going to have to do that. It is a good thing. We shouldn't stop it from happening. Sometimes being in distress is a good thing, because it lines us up with God. It makes us realize what's important. Makes us realize what's important, right? So when we see people going through, just direct them to God and let them know God is there waiting for you. He's wanting to show you the way, but he's waiting on you. So there's going to be many changes. People's hearts are going to change, because they can't anymore. They don't have what they need. So they're finally going to realize where they can get what they need, and that's in God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, sometimes God allows things to happen so that we can turn back to him, we can turn back and just let us realize that he's our Savior, and he's the only one that can get us out from point A to point B. He's the only one that can save us from this world. I mean, this thing is really wicked out there. I mean, I've never seen such havoc. They have transgender. It's a lot of stuff. And I don't want to. One of my friends, she's from, anyway, I'll just put it like this, from L.A., and she was saying that it was a Miss America and that it won the contest. And she said she thought it was a lady, but it turned out to be transgender. And she said I don't know I don't know which contest, but she said she thought it was a lady. But they went ahead and had everything that the lady gets, you know, to win the contest. But anyway, that's kind of changing the subject. Yeah, but God just wants us to turn back and not keep the world like Sodom and Gomorrah. But everything is prophetic, you know, according to Scripture and according to the Word of God. And a lot of things have to take place before he comes back. And then in the Word of God, it says he's going to come back like a thief in the night.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to know anything. Just like a thief in the night. Are you ready? You know?
Yes, we have to be ready.
We have to stay ready, you know? And that's why I listen to so much, because I'm like, man, you never get enough information about the Lord being downloaded into your spirit, man. And
well, you know, thinking about the topic of the Nephilim, if God didn't like it then and he wanted to clean out the race, do you think he's going to accept that now? He's not.
Mm-mm.
He's going to do
not.
Something, but it's in his timing. It's in his time. He's giving people enough opportunity so that they can change. But it's coming. I mean, even unbelievers know something's going to happen. They could feel it in the air. Something's about to start. Oh, and COVID is starting again. They're sending messages out now. Yes. I have a friend. She's a pharmacist. And she says this week has been the worst week for her. They had an increase on COVID. They had an increase on influenza and microplasm. I guess that's when people are sick, they take that. Yes. So she says, and she's not a believer. And she told me, she goes, yeah, we have to be careful. We have to start wearing masks when we go to places so we won't get other people infected. So they want to shut us up again. And how funny. When was this happening last time with the election?
Are
we in now?
The election.
They want to set us up. They want to shut us up. They want us to stay indoors. But, the WHO came out, and they said they gave the recommendations for the COVID. And for some people, well, they have to be real careful because their immune systems are low. My sister, for one, she's always getting it. She's always getting it. And when she travels, for sure, as soon as she gets home, she ends up with COVID. Just be careful, you know, because we don't know what they're throwing out there, if they're throwing something out. I don't know. But we have to be careful because they say it's going to be 5 times stronger than before. But it's going to be so quick that you don't even know. Even for a sniffle with the eyes, different things that you don't even think that may be COVID, it may be COVID. For some people, it's going to be easy. For some, it's not. So that's the whole thing. Not everybody knows how it's going to hit them. And so you have to protect the elderly and children. So we don't walk in fear. We just pray and put the armor on and don't allow fear to. Yeah, it's just another giant. That's all. We'll make it through. Amen? What are they going to do this time?
We've had a lot of children. Yeah. We've had a lot of children just kind of that's had colds and everything that, well, not everything, but, you know, a lot of sniffling and colds, coughing in the classroom. So, yeah, I believe it's coming. It's going to make a full circle.
Yeah. Do you guys have the COVID test with you to test them?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
But the nurses are
It may not look like it, but, I mean, they can compromise one of the kids or even the workers, you know. So we have to be careful and making sure they wash their hands. I mean, that's a normal. I mean, I learned that in nursing school that we can even avoid spreading diseases. I remember that we were taught that there was a plague that was killing pregnant women and a lot of people, but it killed a lot of pregnant women back in the dark days. And it was all because the doctor would not wash his hands from patient to patient, so he was passing on the germ. But once they learned that just simple bar of soap and water, it cut it. It stopped a lot of it. So, I mean, something as simple as soap and water. And not touching your face or your ears or your nose or your mouth. Just, you know, keep your hands away from your face. That's it. So, normal things that we should be doing anyway. Go ahead. I mean, your daughter can come on and tell us some about that. She's a nurse, right?
Right. And then some of it, being me, just, you know, because she's sleeping, but when you clean, like if you're working in like at a nursing facility, nursing home, or even a child care facility, if you use a glove, like if the child has a runny nose, you want to use your sterile glove and wipe their nose, and then once you finish wiping their nose, of course you're going to throw it away, but you can use sterile gloves to make sure your hands are covered as well.
Yeah. What I do is take the dishwashing liquid and I add a little bit of Clorox in it to do the dishes to make sure that the germs are out of the dishes and the cups and everything, and I clean it up, rinse it out. For those that don't have a dishwasher, they can do that. They can add a little bit of Clorox to their dishwashing liquid, and I mean, it comes right off. It rinses off. You'd be surprised how nice and clean your dishes come out. So, I mean, even on the floors, the counters, a little bit of Clorox mixed in, you know, a little capful over a gallon of water, you can have that mixture and clean the counters and the bathrooms and things like that. Don't get into fear. Don't get out of balance. Walk in faith like we did before, and we'll be fine. We'll be fine. But, yeah, this is coming around again. And keep your immune system strong. That's all. Keep your immune system strong. And for those people that are around other people, you know, when you come home, try to stay away from the rest of the family for a while in case you get sick. When you travel, that's another thing. Be careful when you come home. Make sure you wear your mask your N95 when you're in airplanes and, you know, where there's a lot of people. They do work. I've used them and I've been fine. I wash my hands a lot. I wipe down everything that I have. It's fine. I don't walk in fear. And just, you know, understand what we're living in. These are giants that are trying to come at us. They're strong. They want to overcome us. But no. No. They want to ruin our DNA. And we can't let the enemy ruin our DNA. We are not to fear. We have a big God, a God that can do the impossible. We have to be like Joshua and Caleb, that when we're facing the promised land, we got to believe. And if you don't believe, then get in the Word and build your faith up. Amen. So, all right, Sarah. Is there anything else you want to say?
Well, all right. I'm just so excited once again to be a part of the prayer line, you know, because it's getting out to the masses. They were saying, I don't know, but it's going to be something worse than COVID. It's going to be much stronger and it's going to do much damage. But I think if we go ahead and use vitamin zinc, you know, get our vitamins back into our bodies and, like you were saying, build it up. And getting
zinc
going
and
again.
Vitamin D. Well, a lot of people are in office buildings and they don't get out in the sun. So build up your zinc, your pomegranate. I'm so curious to know what Prophet Randy's concoction is, because it sounds like it's really good stuff. I know that one of the main things is pomegranate. That stuff is good. That stuff is really good. So just stay healthy, stay cleaned up, clean. The 4th of July is coming. It is not a good idea to be in gatherings because that's when it's going to break out. So just be careful with the gatherings. Don't walk in fear. If you're going to be together, be outside where the wind, you know, the air will take out. Don't be indoors. Don't be indoors. That's what we've learned from the last time. So praise God. All right, Sarah. Well, God bless you.
God bless you.
All right.
Until next time.
All right.
God bless.
Until next. God willing. Yes. All right.
God
bye.
Bless.
All right. 919-995. Your name and where you're from.
Cheryl, North Carolina.
Cheryl from North Carolina. Okay. Give me a minute. One second here. I'm going to record it. I'm going to put my son. All right. I'm going to put you on mute, and then I'll get right back to you. No, that's not it. Thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I've heard testimonies of people when they've had lack, when they cried out to the Lord, and they had faith that God was going to come through, and he did come through. And, like, for instance, this story of this one lady that her mom and her brother were living together and they didn't have any money for food. And so they were crying out to God. They had to go to a dumpster to try to get the food that they could find in there and clean it up and make wonderful meals with what they could find, half-eaten fruits and things like that. They would put it together and then they started believing. They started believing differently. They didn't start taking matters in their own hands. They started believing that God was going to give them what they needed. And they began praying. The mom started praying. Next thing you know, they had groceries left in front of their door. They had prayed, and this girl, this lady, she's an older woman now, but she had seen the miracles that God had done because of her faith. So I see you doing that, that you're going to be praying for something and that God is going to be answering your prayers because of the faith that you have in God. And you're going to see things that you've never seen before. God is on your side. God is there for you. He doesn't leave us or forsake us, but he needs to see us crying out to him. You know, sometimes in our struggles, that's when the biggest miracles happen. And so that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing you moving forward, seeing the bigger pictures, bigger things happening. So we thank you, Lord, for Cheryl, for meeting all her needs, for raising that faith to a higher level in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hi, Cheryl. How are you, dear? Hello, Cheryl. Unmute me, dear. Hello, Cheryl. I can't hear you. Cheryl, are you there? Hello, Cheryl. It's too early to be asleep. Well, I prayed for her. All right. I started the show earlier today, and so therefore I'm going to be finishing early tonight because I guess a lot of people forgot from last week that where I told them to be expecting a new hour. I'm going to be coming on at 7 o'clock Dallas time. So everybody will get used to it sooner or later because I can't do the late hours. It's really throwing me off. And I can't risk not waking up in the morning because I oversleep. It just really does a number on me. Well, God bless you all. You have a nice weekend. Cheryl, are you there? I heard a buzz. Hello? All right. So God bless you all. I pray that you have a good week, and go tell somebody about Jesus this week. Let them know that God loves them, and bless them by knowing that God does love them. All right. Let me put a song before I close. God bless. Goodbye is not the end. Don't All right. I have another caller, 828-442, your name and where you're from.
Hey, this is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hello. All right, let me put you on mute. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Jennifer from North Carolina. Father God, we just thank you for her life. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I'm going to say this, but I don't know. when I said your name, I saw the character from Cinderella, as if your life was about to take a turn in your life. Like something different is about to happen. And I see it's almost like what you used to live is no longer going to be that way, that things are changing for you. So I see you like what happened with Cinderella, that her life changed. It was totally different. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for that Cinderella story in Jennifer's life, Father God. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I don't understand what that's all about, but I'm believing that it's a change, that you're not going to be the same. Something about your life is not going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. That things that were before are not going to be the same. So I'm not sure what that is all about. So we thank you, Lord, for the transformation, for the change, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I am so curious to know what's going on, Jennifer.
Wow. I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, that God uses Cinderella in my life like he always has. That's something that he just used that story. So, like, that has great meaning
to me.
So
what's going on?
Well, oh, man. I don't, you know, it's one of those things where I'm just so, I don't know what's going on. I'm so surrendered. It's like there's a lot going on, and it doesn't look good. But I know God's moving, and I trust him. And I know I'm just believing him for that transformation, that change, that everything's going to be different, just like you said, no matter what it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I
saw.
When you came on, I saw that character of Cinderella come on. I was like, what is going on?
It could mean several things. Like, he's used it in two areas of my life, and whichever one it is, it doesn't matter. It's encouraging because those are positive. And so that just so encouraged my heart because it's been rough lately. Been really a struggle. Just trying to keep myself encouraged and listening to God. And I just feel like a rocket ship that went up in the air. Like that, just hear you say that.
Well, you know, as we spend time in the presence of God, he'll show you, and sometimes you will feel almost like you're there already. I know what you feel. I've gone through my ups and downs, a lot of ups and downs this year. It's been crazy, and you got to keep yourself encouraged. David kept himself encouraged. He remembered and he recounted all the things that God had done for him before. And he knew that if God did it before, he can do it again. And so we need to spend time and write it down. Okay, thank you, Lord, because you did this. Thank you, Lord, you did that. Thank you, Lord, for when you did this. And then you start noticing even more things that are happening. Sometimes we're so low that we don't see nothing. We're like, our eyes are veiled. But when you start recounting the goodness of God in your life, you're going to start seeing the things that God, that you didn't notice before. They're going to turn. And then, you know what? That's going to bring more praise, more thanks before the Lord. And he's going to release. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to worship him. And he starts releasing things. That's exactly where he wants us. So keep praising him.
Yeah.
Keep recounting.
Yeah,
you're going to see a difference.
I believe it, Carmen. I so believe it. It doesn't matter what I feel like. It doesn't matter what it
Amen.
Looks like. No, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to bring in my mind. Because
mm-hmm.
he has. He's done
Good.
It before.
Good.
10 years ago, I found myself in a very similar situation. And I'm like, well, he can do it again. Because he did a miracle for me before. So I believe in miracles.
Amen.
And I want to need one.
I
need
hope
one.
You listened to the beginning of the show where I'm talking about the Nephilims and the fallen angels and all this stuff and
oh,
how
wow.
that is the same thing as what we are going through. And but we have to be like Caleb and Joshua. They believe what God was saying. God
mm-hmm.
had told them ahead of time. Go ahead.
No, I did not catch that, but I will go back and listen because that is something of great interest to me where God has really just shown me a lot about that. So I will definitely go back and listen.
Yeah, they're fallen angels. And, you know,
yes.
we're going to be facing giants. And the giants are big, right? It's things
yes.
that we cannot overcome. They're impossible. But guess what? When God tells you that you're going to go through something and you can make it, you're going to make it. We don't put our eyes on the big giant. We don't put our eyes on the big giant. We put our eyes on God. God warned them. If you look in Genesis, God told them in Genesis 3 that they were going to be entering into a land where they were going to be, you know, strong people, people that would try to overcome them. But to not fear because he was with them. And what happened?
Mm.
Moses sends 12 spies. The two from the 10
yes.
believed, and the other 10 didn't. And guess who entered into the promised land? Caleb and Joshua. Did the other ones go
yes.
in? No, because they didn't believe. They didn't believe. God
believe.
Told them. God was
I
preparing
believe.
Them ahead of time. And I believe that I'm preparing you guys and letting you
mm-hmm.
know there's going to be a wilderness. There's going to be things that are coming our way. The giants are coming out, but God is saying we can make it. We can overcome, and the booty is going to be big.
Yeah.
You know, it could be souls. It could be so many things, but let's put our eyes on God, and let's not put our eyes on things that are out there on the internet, on things that people are teaching out there that are just totally off. Keep our eyes on Jesus because he's the one that's going to get us through all of this. And you know,
yeah.
he'll do it again and again and again, and we'll go into another one, and we'll get past that one. We'll go into another one. We'll pass that one. We got to get into the mindset that, okay, we may have go through struggles, but we know where to go. We know where we're going to get our victory in God. We may go through struggles, but that's okay. Well, we have to, and I understand sometimes, you know, people want you to be happy all the time, and that's not possible always. But you know what? Just take your struggles and put it where it matters, like Jacob did. Jacob put his struggles in the front of the Lord. He allowed God. He fought with the Lord. He stayed in front of God. He stayed in front of God until God blessed him. And so we need to have that mindset. When things are looking not as good, that's what we have to do. Spend our time before the Lord and, you know, do some warring in there. Spend our time with the Lord until God blesses us. Because that's exactly where God wants us to be. He wants to see that we understand that we can't, but that he can. And when we put ourselves in a position like that, that's when things are going to get ready to happen. And there's going to be transformation, just like he did with Jacob. He transformed him. He wasn't
yeah.
Jacob anymore. He was his name changed, Israel. He changed.
Yes.
God did
praise
great
God
things with him.
That he, praise God that he does
yeah.
that with us. that we're not the same,
mm-hmm.
that he doesn't keep allow us to stay the same.
But we don't allow the Nephilim spirit, that spirit of the fallen angels, to try to come and defeat us and bring depression and all that. That's part of the battle. That's part of the fight,
yeah.
fighting against those
yes.
things. You know, and you're like, yes. oh, I don't want to do this today. But you're going to have to get up and do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord. You can do this, Lord. And that's why they call it the sacrifice of praise, because it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice some days to lift your hands
yeah.
when you don't want, you just want to go into the bed and do nothing. And you're
right.
like, no, I don't want to do nothing. But, you know, it's a sacrifice. Of it. I praise you, Lord. And before you know it, that heaviness gets off of us. But that's part of the warfare as a good soldier.
Yeah.
That's part of your warfare. You're going to have to, you know, when you can't, you got to sacrifice the praises. You got to, Lord, help me, help me. And then you'll
sometimes
feel lighter.
Yeah. Sometimes it seems like lately, normally, pray a lot, but then it's like lately, the only thing I've been able to pray is just help me, help me. That seems to be like what I've been praying all week, just help me, help me. So,
you know,
yeah.
sometimes warfare is in our worship.
Right.
When you worship the Lord, that's where, and the enemy will fight you on it. But if that's all you know how to do, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fight in your worship, and you will notice it. There's something that takes place, and that thing gets off of you and gets lighter and lighter. But then at the same time, there's something spiritual going on, and God is working your situation out when you do that. It's just more than lifting those things off of you. It's God working your situation out at the same time.
Yeah,
right?
I'm trusting him for that. Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no strength of my own, and things are beyond my control, and I realize that I'm not in control, so I'm trusting him, and whatever, however he works it out is for my good. So.
Mm-hmm. I know what I'm saying, because it happens to me. There are some days where, like, oh, Lord. But, you know, I know where, as a good soldier, what I've been trained to do. And I do it. And so, what was I going to say? Just worship. If that's all you know you can do, that's all that's going to break you through your worship. Amen?
Well, that's a good thing, because I absolutely love to worship. It gets a joy to me.
Good.
So, and that's, I feel like I feel better and, like, I'm in my element when I'm worshiping. Prayer I struggle with, but worship is, that seems to be where I encounter him the most. So.
Mm-hmm. And remember, anoint your home, anoint your car, anoint everything, even your pets. Anoint, anoint, anoint.
Yeah.
And, you know, and pray and command those things out, because, you know, we bring stuff home. We bring stuff in. Somebody said something,
mm-hmm.
something you heard, something, you know, in the atmosphere you walked into. We're in constant battle right now. And so we have to give it more. We have to do more and pray. And if you have a chance to fast, then fast. If you can't, just, you know, maybe a meal or two, or, you know, just removing yourself from fellowshipping with other people for a little bit while you spend time
mm-hmm.
with the Lord, that's a form of fast. So there's
yeah.
different things. As the Holy Spirit leads you, he'll show you exactly what you got to do. Amen?
Yes. Amen. Wow. Yes, amen. Yes.
All right,
thank
Jennifer.
You. Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much for, like, I know you didn't know what that meant, but I sure do. So. It's very so encouraging. Yeah. I just feel seen and loved and heard tonight by him.
Yes, he does love you. He does love you. Amen. All
a
right, girl.
Smile,
well, God bless you.
Thank
Did
you.
Say that
God
again?
Bless you, too. I said, God bless you, too.
All right. Well, have a good week. All right.
You
love
too.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you.
All right. 111-111. Your name and where you're from.
Hi, it's Barbara from Texas.
Hello, Miss Barbara. Let me put you on mute. I'll be right back. Thank you, Jesus, for Sister Barbara, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I'm getting the same, almost the same stuff as from last week. It's almost like the woman that went to the prophet and was hiding her pain from the prophet. And, you know, like everything was well. It is well. Everything is well. But I'm sensing that there are some things that you're going through, that you're hiding it from other people, from the Lord, you know, from everybody. But God sees. God sees. And you pray to him and he sees. He knows what you're going through. And so don't think it's strange about all these things that are happening. God is not the one that's allowing all these things. It's just the enemy. But you have been trained. You know. You know the Lord. You know how to fight the enemy. And so the Lord is with you. He sees what you're going through. And in the quiet place, he's going to show you certain things. He's going to show you certain things. And you will be refreshed in that time as you're spending time with him concerning those things that are weighing you down. You know, you hide it from everybody, but God sees. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For you see. You see our pains and our struggles. You see the tears. You see what causes us pain. And we thank you, Father. Father God, for Sister Barbara. Lord, illuminate her. Help her, Father God. Give her the peace concerning that situation in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, All right, Sister Barbara, how are you?
I am good. I am happy and just rejoicing and thanking God. And, you know, and I do get a lot of people that want me to pray for them that's burdened and heavy laden and, you know, and mm-hmm. they go through a lot. And I have to lay their situation at the feet of Jesus. And so, you know, I don't know what to say. That's all
sometimes
I know
we carry the burden.
Yeah, I feel the when Jesus' heart beat, mine beat. And when they're sad, I'm sad. But he said there's a time to weep, there's a time to cry, there's a time to laugh. And so every chance I get, I'm praising, I'm grateful, I'm thankful. But at the same time, you know, they share a lot of things with me, you know, and it bothers me at times. And I cry out because I spend my time in intercessory prayer. And so, yes, ma'am, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah, it weighs us down sometimes. But like you said,
yes,
you bring the cares up to the Lord.
And I get tired of it at times, and I'll just say, Father, when this new person called me, I lay it at your feet. And, you know, and then I may get another call. Well, I saw blah, blah, blah in my house, and now it jumped in my stomach, and I want deliverance, and I need your help. And I said, well, let me talk to Jesus about it, and I'll call you back and pray about it. You know, and sometimes I'll pray right then. But when I know there's a serious problem, no. I have to talk to Jesus about it because I don't want to be weighed down and burdened with him. So that's it.
Yeah, we have to be careful with that one because we don't realize that we're holding all that in. But he says, you know, give me all the burdens. If you're heavy laden, give them to me. And, you know, I'll give you rest. It's what he says. He'll give you rest. And so as mothers, as intercessors, we pray for others. And sometimes it gets heavy, but that's where he tells us, give it to me. You can't do a thing about it. Give it to me. Give it to me. I know I've made that mistake many a time. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Why am I holding on to this? I got to give it to me. This, I can't carry this. This is too much for me.
And I can't fix it. So,
but, you know,
and I'm not going to. That's right. So there you go. That's me. And you're picking it up right
but
because.
But that's beautiful.
It
is. It's beautiful because you are identifying with the pain of the other person. But the final result is giving it to the Lord. Lord, look, this is what's going. And when you really can't have compassion over someone, something that they're going through, then when you give it to the Lord, do you not think that God is going to hear that prayer? He's going to hear it loud and clear. Like, for instance, I was praying for a sister, and she was like, she had only been married 2 years, and she wanted to get pregnant, and it was a burden for her. It was hard for her to not have a baby, and she would just, you could feel her pain. And for some reason, I was praying for her, and I was like, Lord, and I got into praying and crying, and I was like, I felt like it was me. And about a couple of weeks later, and I had told her, look, I was praying for you, and I felt like the Lord was saying that you're going to have that baby. And she goes, oh, you know, she looked at me like, yeah, you're crazy. And, you know, about 2 weeks later, she was pregnant. But I was pregnant, too. Her name was Carmen, too. And then I go, wait a minute, Lord. It was that Carmen, not this Carmen. But I know that I interceded on her behalf, like if it was me, that there must have been something in me that also wanted the same thing that she wanted. But I prayed, and it happened. She was waiting and waiting. They were having trouble. Her husband was, he had problems, but she got pregnant. And then after that, she got pregnant again. So when God does it, he does it good.
Yes, ma'am.
He does it good.
It happened to
so,
me too.
You know,
too.
When we pray,
we
pray with compassion, like it's happening to us. And so sometimes we forget that we have to give it back to the Lord because then the prayer won't work if we're holding on to it.
That's right. And that's what I told two that called me today. And I said, look, we're going to lay this at Jesus' feet. And then, you know, and they just constantly call, you know, but that's our job. But we have to give it back to the Lord because I can't fix it. I can't do a thing with it. And after I pray and intercede for it, then I said, I'm shutting my eyes and resting in the presence. So, yes, ma'am.
Praise God. Interesting.
I'm not mighty woman. I'm not superwoman in the Lord. But yes, ma'am, it's a
all
lot.
All he needs is a vessel. That's all. He needs is a vessel.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all he needs, a vessel. Because if we start thinking that we need to be something special, then we're taking our eyes off of God and we're putting it on ourselves.
Right.
And God doesn't the impossible with the person that can't do anything. He uses us. We're just the vessel. He's the one that's going to do it.
Amen.
And we got to get our minds off of ourselves. When we put our minds, and I'm guilty of that, sometimes, you know, well, how am I going to do this? Well, how God? Oh, wait a minute. All right. You're going to do the impossible. And you know what? I bought myself a little cup. And it has gold around it. Painted, and it says, nothing is impossible with God. There's nothing impossible with God. I go, to remind me, every morning, nothing is impossible with God. So, Yes. I'll probably put it one day on the blog talk. You know, when you go in and look at the person's blog talk, I put always pictures in there relating to the message that I'm giving. So one of these days I'll show you my cup. Nothing is possible with God.
Yes, ma'am, because it seems a lot of leaders that want us to pray. So it's just a lot of leaders, you know, that they in, you know, they have churches and stuff like that, and they want someone they can trust, you know. So I just thank God for them, you know.
Yeah, but remember, not you. It's God.
Not me.
Give it to him.
But God.
Try interceding for them. That's good. But leave it in his hands. Leave
but
it in
God.
His hands.
That's
and
right.
Make sure. And when you feel that peace, you're okay. All right, God.
Yes.
I'm leaving it in
Love
your
you.
Hands. Because I can't do anything. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, that's what I tell them. I say, I love you. God bless you. And we'll pray about it. You know.
Amen. Amen.
I pull that same
Praise
thing.
God.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd like to say before we move on?
No, ma'am. I just have a group of people that, you know, that I, the same thing you were saying. So, you know, it's the same thing. I pray about that group. I'm done with it. You know, I love them. And I'll see them tomorrow, you know, right after church. So I'm just, you know, encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. And that's it. That's it. So
Amen.
Thank you. Love you.
All right.
I'll let you get to the next song.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
903-777, your name and where you're from.
This is Debbie from Texas.
Debbie from Texas. All right, Debbie.
Yes.
Give me a minute. Thank you, Lord, for Debbie from Texas. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm seeing you dealing with some issues, and God is making you the expert on how to handle that situation. I see you like in a desk, and you're trying to figure out some things, but I see that God is giving you the know-how on how to do that. It's almost like you put your glasses on and you can see. God is helping you to see how to handle each and every situation, what you need to do. And so he's making you the expert in those situations. So we thank you, Lord, for giving her the mind of Christ, giving her the mind to know how to do things God's way. Do things God's way. And I see you focused. You're focused. Focused resolving issues. So focused resolving the things at hand. It's almost like, you know, God has given you a touch on your brain. And you're like, whoa, yeah, that's what I needed. It's almost like something opened up in your brain for you to be able to smoothly deal with that. It's like, it's almost like you rolled up your sleeves, and as you did, you're seeking God's help, and I see you overcoming those issues. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Debbie, how are you?
Hey, I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good, good. Blessed.
Good, good. I have a couple of prayer requests real quick. My aunt and uncle has COVID. They went to the doctor today. They're elderly, and Jeanette and Ed Keith, they need prayer. That's their names.
Jeanette and what?
Jeanette and Ed. A-D. Ed.
Okay.
Ed. Yeah.
You know what? I mentioned that earlier in the show, and I was telling everybody that the WHO had stated that there's COVID again, and that there's a COVID that's 5 times stronger than the one before. But for some people it'll be quick before you know it, and some people won't even know it. They don't have headaches. They don't have nothing with the nose. It's just very different. This one's very different. And so they're asking people to start wearing masks again. It started earlier this year, a month before than normal. It's usually around July. And also know that in a few days we have 4th of July, so there's going to be people gathering. If you have to gather and people are still going to be stubborn about it, well, make sure you do it out in the open air, outside, not indoors.
Right.
Where the air is, you know, not as, is more stagnant. Do it outside in fresh air. Amen?
Amen.
And for those that are taking care of the elderly, be very careful, you know, where you go, wear your mask so that way you don't bring anything back. You may have a strong immune system, but they may not, and it may hit them harder than you. So be aware where you're at. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Because the hands is, you know, the one that spreads everything. If you're always having your hands washed, and put a little bit of Clorox in your dishwashing liquid. Also, to clean the dishes, make sure that if somebody has something, it's all clean. If you don't have a dishwasher, it's a good idea to add some Clorox to your dish detergent. But, yeah. Amen. Yeah, I just mentioned that early today. And,
well, see, I didn't know.
System? And your immune system, make sure you have your vitamin D, your zinc, and all your vitamins. Keep your immune system up. Fresh food, as best as you can afford, you know?
Yeah.
There's things that you can do.
Right.
So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just lift up Janet and Ed, Father. Lord, we just pray that you touch their immune system, Father God. We pray, Father God, we curse this COVID and any other thing that may be attached to it in the name of Jesus, Lord.
Hallelujah.
I pray, Father God, that you build up their immune system right now.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Touch them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Lord, touch and protect their lungs. Touch their eyes. Touch their brain. Touch all of them, Father God. We pray, Father God, that this thing will break off of them in Jesus' name. As quick as it came, that it will leave in Jesus' name right now. We command that spirit of COVID to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we pray for the family to give them wisdom to know the things that they need to do to continue keeping them healthy in Jesus' name. Lord,
thank
we thank you, Father God. Help them, Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord,
praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah,
Lord.
For some reason, the old COVID always affects the lungs. So have them sit up more than lying down because, I've had COVID. I've had COVID twice, and I already knew how to take care of it, and I wouldn't lie down. I would sit up. I try to sit up as much as I could. Because if it gets into the lungs, that's where you have problems.
Yeah.
But sitting up and keeping hydrated and helping your body to flush that stuff out, there's things you can do in the natural with God's help.
Okay.
And so don't lie down all day. The ones that lie down all day are the ones that have the infections in their lungs more, and it takes them longer to get rid of it. Sit them up.
Yeah.
As comfortable as they can be in their bed and have the TV in front of them, lots of liquids, some soups, and, you know, lots of things to help flush it out, flush whatever they have so that they can go to the bathroom more often. You know, when you go to the bathroom more often, that cleans you out. You know, fresh fruit, watermelons, whatever they can handle, depending on what they have, you know, because if they're diabetic, you don't want to give them too much sugar. But, yeah, keep their system going. Keep their system going. And call back and let us know how they're doing and if they need more prayer.
I sure will.
We're here every day. Anything else, Debbie?
No, that's about it. Oh, last week, you told me to, remember you told me to let the Holy Ghost flow over me like going to the, getting ice cream. Do you remember that?
I can't remember. I tell people so many things, I can't remember all of them. But yeah, what happened?
refreshing is what you was talking about.
Yes.
You know,
the refreshing
in the Holy Ghost. So he's really been hitting me this week since you said that.
Really?
Yes, the refreshing.
Praise God.
Yeah. Yeah, so
God
I wanted to tell you that. Huh?
Praise you, Lord. You need
yes,
God
Jesus.
Knew you needed it.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because she's open to all the good things that you have for her, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right,
okay, you stay cool this week. It's hot.
Oh, yes.
You said it's hot where you work.
Yes. Oh, man. Running up and down, and they don't want to put the AC on, and so it's hard.
Oh, my
gosh. Sweating buckets.
Wow.
Well.
Good Lord.
Well, praise the Lord.
Well,
God bless you.
I think about you through the week and ask the Lord to cool you off if you get too hot. I do that every week. Yeah. Okay, then. Well, you have a good week. And I'll talk to you next
too.
Week. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. 334-403, your name and where you're from. We started earlier today. We're doing this early every starting this week. 7 o'clock around Dallas time, Central time, I think it's the mic. It got some people off and they forgot about it, but... Yeah, do remember that we're starting earlier. Yes, so who am
well,
I speaking
I'm,
with and where you're from?
This is Sonia from Goshen, Alabama. I've been gone for about 2 weeks.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing? Well, let me pray for you and then I'll come back. All right, give me a minute. Thank you, Father God, for Sister Sonia, Father God. No matter what the obstacles are, God is with you. I see you that the enemy doesn't play fair, and you know that. And I see you in front of a hurdle, and instead of going over it like the enemy wants you to go over it, you just knock it down and you walk over it. And so this is what I'm sensing in your spirit, that you are not tolerating any nonsense and that you're moving forward. You're done with the nonsense that the enemy tries to bring. That's what I'm seeing. Like that hurdle is knocked over and you're able to walk over it. You're not playing the enemy's game. Thank you, Father, for Sister Sonia. Thank you, Lord, and strengthen her and make her strong, Father God. Lord, we just thank you and give her more strength and more strength and more strength. And Lord, help her to, as she learns the tactics of the enemy, that she will share it with other people that need to hear, Father God, what the enemy tries to do to us sometimes. I thank you, Lord, for her life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. All right. Let me try to get this phone to open up. All right. There we go. Sister Sonia, how are you?
I am doing very well. We've been camping, and that word was delicious. How are you?
I'm doing well. God bless. I'm doing well. Yeah, we missed you. What have you been up to?
I've been meditating and chewing on this word I got. Anyway, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to pray loud. I strain my voice, so.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, and I'm touching and agreeing with Carmen that money will come to her from the north to south to east and the west. I decree her perfect health. I decree her family members will be saved and get the Holy Ghost. I decree, Lord, that she'll get the desires of her heart. I decree that you'll burst open the windows of heaven for her, Lord. Lord, use her in a greater way, Lord, in the anointing. I decree every person that she prays for will humble themselves and be thankful and keep her in their prayers. Lord, I thank you. I decree, Lord, even her cousins and things that seem impossible, that they will get saved, that they'll see the light in Carmen. Lord, I decree that everything that she touches will become blessed. I decree, Lord, that hallelujah, that she is covered by your blood, that she is kept from the enemy when he seeks her, Lord. You let the angels of your presence cover her. They can't even find her. I decree all this in the name of Jesus. I decree that all is well. And I decree, Lord, hallelujah, you said if we touch and agree on anything, and Lord, according to Job 22:24-28, you say we'll lay up gold as dust and we'll have plenty of silver. Lord, this is your word. I speak it over Carmen. I ask you and decree with her that you'll give her the desires of her heart. Lord, take her to a higher and a deeper level. And those that tried to use her and talk about her, we decree that you'll shut the mouth of the enemy, that you'll bind him in. Bring it back to them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. She's on fire. Oh, my goodness. You're on fire, Sister Sonia. Woo-hoo.
Amen. I got to be on fire.
Amen. Amen to that. Ah, thank you, Jesus, for touching her in such a way, Father God. Increase more, give her more so that she can pray more for people and also protect her, Father God. I know that the enemy would like to take her out, but Lord, we just thank you in Jesus' name for the angels of the Lord that are round about her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right, Sister Sonia. Thank you so much. And remember to always lift up Prophet Randy in prayer and all the PGN brothers and sisters that are doing shows too, okay?
Well, Lord, right now, Lord, forgive me. Remember Prophet Randy, Prophet Miss LaShawn, Prophetess Carmen, Prophetess Debbie, and whoever else that I don't know. Lord, you lift them all up. You take them where you want us to take us, because they're taking us there, and we thank you. And we say, God bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Sister Sonia, you have a wonderful, blessed week, okay?
All right. Now, you think about that scripture I gave you. Job 22,
okay.
24 through 28, and Matthew 18, 16 through 20. You claim that for you, Sister Carmen.
Okay, say that again, 22, 24 to 28, and then Matthew's what?
18, 16 through 20.
Okay, 18, 16 through 20. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you so much. Thank you for your prayers and for your encouragement.
Always. You're always welcome.
All right. All right. Bye-bye. Have a blessed week. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. All right, everybody. There is a little more time left, but we're going to be closing the show tonight. Remember, for next week, this is the time that we're going to start at 7 o'clock. All right. Well, God bless you. I pray that you have a beautiful week and that God uses you to tell someone about Jesus. All right. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.